Amen. Well, we're going to carry on looking at the Word of God tonight and continuing with the theme of our studies that we've had over the last few weeks, which is looking at where we fit in to the body of Christ, and what our function and purpose is. You know, we've already seen that every single one of us is part and parcel of the church, and we're part of the body, and Paul uses that analogy of the body just to show that we can't do without each other. We all got a specific function to play. You know, no part of the body can say to another part it doesn't need it, because it's all part of the one. One of the things we did do last week, if you remember, we said it's a little bit like a jigsaw puzzle. If there's a piece missing, the puzzle's not complete. Or if the piece is in the wrong place in the puzzle, the picture doesn't work right. You know, and that's how it is in the church. You know, the church doesn't function right or as it was intended to if either we're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. If God's called us to be a preacher in the church, you know, we trying to fit another role, and so we don't want to preach, we want to do something else, we're in the wrong place. We're like a piece of the puzzle that's not put in right. Or if God's called us to do something and we decide we're not going to do anything, then we're like a piece that's missing. You know, and it affects the way the body functions. And in order to make the church complete, God has given various gifts to the church. And we saw over the last 2 weeks that there are three sets of gifts outlined in the New Testament. There's a group of gifts listed in Romans chapter 12, which we have looked at. And so we looked at those last week, which are basic gifts. There's seven of them, and Paul lists them there in Romans 12. And these are gifts that God the Father has given to us. Every single one of us will have at least one of those gifts. They're given to us when we're born again. I said last week that God deposits the gift within us, but sometimes that gift might already be resident in us, but God just anoints that talent or that we've got or that ability and uses it for his glory. You know, we might be an excellent musician or something before we got saved. And, you know, God can anoint that gift of been out of play, and he uses it for his glory. So they're the basic gifts. There's seven of them. We looked at those last week, and every single one of us will have at least one of those gifts. And just as a reminder, let me just run through the seven gifts that there are. And as I said last week, let's not get hung up on the words that are used in the scriptures. You know, the Bible here says in Romans, it says that if our gift is prophecy or preaching, now, as we said last week, that doesn't necessarily mean you're standing behind a pulpit, because the word prophecy means it's just to speak the word of God, and we do that when we give our testimony, we do that on our witnessing, when we're on the street. Whenever we're talking about Jesus or we're presenting the gospel, whether it's in our home, whether it's on the street, whether it's in a church, that's for all intents, but that's preaching. That's prophecy. We saw that last week. And we're to prophesy in proportion to our faith. And then another one of the gifts is ministry or serving. You know, when we serve one another, and people have that gift. They're good ministers, good servants. You know, they'll do anything for anybody. And you know those type of people. Then there's those that teach. And again, we said those are like people that take the Sunday school classes, or they take the youth group, or they might take a house group, or, you know, they might have a gift of teaching. They're able to impart truths to me. And there are other teachers in the church, which we're going to look at tonight, but There's that basic gift of being able, the ability to teach. Then there's those that exhort, or the word we used last week was to encourage. They're encourages people in the church that can just draw alongside someone, as, you know, just they have that gift to be able to cheer them up and encourage them and, you know, motivate them in their Christian walk. Then there's the givers. Now, we should all give to God, but people that God raises up, that gives them a special gift of being able to give to the work of God. Might raise up business people to make profit for God's kingdom. You know, people are in business to support mission work and things like that. And there's those types of people in the church, the givers. Then there's the leaders, those who can lead. Again, it might not necessarily, might not be standing at the front leading a service, but it might be overseeing a project in the church. And we likened it to the building work that's going on in Ghana, didn't we? And we said that, you know, if we were doing that here in this, obviously we've got our own place and we're building something ourselves here, it might want somebody to oversee that. Someone who's able to lead, someone who's able to coordinate the workers. Because we don't want everybody coming in together, and we've got to have those that the brickies have got to come in, and we can't have the electricians coming in before the brickwork's up and things like that. So they need someone to coordinate, and they're in the church, leaders, people with that ability to coordinate and oversee things. Yes, it might involve leading services, it might involve leading Sunday schools, it might involve leading house groups, it might involve those sorts of things. People like to coordinate tract distribution. You know, something else we said last week. Then there's those that show mercy. You know, those that are able to really get down and sympathise with those in need. You know, really help them along. It's not just about saying, well, you know, there, never mind, you know, it's going to get better one day. But it's somebody who can really identify and help and support those that are going through problems and needs in the church. And those are basic gifts that God has given to each and every single one of us. Now, we might not all have the same gift. I could almost say, well, categorically, that none of us would all have the same. We might overlap in some areas, but we'll all have something different. But it'll be one of those seven basic gifts that God the Father has given to us. Then, 1 Corinthians 12 lists 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, these are gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. These aren't gifts that we have, like the basic gifts. These are gifts that we seek. And these are available to every Christian. Every single believer should seek and desire the gifts. Now, I said there's 9 of them. We haven't looked at them yet. But we did look at the... We did do a study on this several months ago. So, for that reason, I'm going to skip that group in these few weeks of teaching. We might come back to them in the new year, but those 9 gifts, I'll just tell you what they are, so we know. There's the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, there's the gift of faith, discerning of spirits, the gift of prophecy, working of miracles, the gifts of healings, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, the basic gifts and those gifts in Corinthians are all there to build the church up. All these gifts are to build the church up, like we're going to look at. But there's a special group of gifts, which we're going to look at tonight, which is found in Ephesians chapter 4. And these are called the ministry gifts. And these gifts are given by Jesus to the church. And these are gifts that we become. You know, we don't have them when we are born again. Now, they might flow out of a basic gifting. They might flow out of something. They might be developed. But these are gifts that we become. Now, not every person in the church will be one of these 5 gifts. Not everybody will, and I'll tell you what those 5 gifts are, and then you'll see what I mean, we'll read it in the scriptures, but they are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, not everybody will be one of those, and there's probably a lot of people that will be glad they're not one of those. But we'll read the scriptures, and let's just look at this. We're going to read from verse 7, Ephesians 4, verse 7. But this is what we're going to focus on tonight, these ministry gifts given to the body by Jesus. And verse 7 says this. It says, "To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And it tells us this, the gift of Christ, the gift of Jesus. "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. "He who descended also is the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now there we read that, you know, Jesus has given these gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. These five gifts. And they're there to equip the saints for the work of ministry. To build up the body of Christ. And that's what all the gifts are for. Building up the body of Christ. Or as it we read in the last verse there. You know, that it causes growth of the body. You know, so that the body can grow and be edified and build up. But we read in verse 11, and I did touch on it. The Bible here says that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. He gave some. Now, not every person, as I said, will become one of these gifts. But these gifts, these five gifts, are gifted people given by Jesus to the church, placed in the church to accomplish a specific purpose and a specific function. Just because we don't become, or not everybody will become an apostle or a prophet or a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher, that doesn't mean that those who don't have these gifts are any less important in the body. Because that's we read it in verse 16. It says, look, it says, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. No, we need every joint. We need every tendon in the body. We need every muscle. You know, without it, the body, we used this terminology last week, the body gets sick. And if one part of our body doesn't function, we use that term. We say, we're sick. If the liver doesn't function properly in the body, we would say to her, we say, well, I'm not feeling good, I'm not feeling right, my body's sick, and you go to the doctor to try and find out what's the matter. It's the same if it's the hand, if it's the leg. You know, if it's not right and it's not working, you say it's sick. And that's how the church gets, if we're not functioning and we're not pulling together. So we're all important. Whether we are one of these five ministry gifts or not, we're still important in the body of Christ, and we still have a function to play, a function to perform. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at each one of these five gifts tonight, and I won't be too long. We'll be done by the time we need to be done by. Now there are five of them, five gifts, and they all have a specific function. Now I will point out right at the very beginning, is every church, and it includes us, we should have in the church at least one of each of these giftings. And if we haven't got them in the church, we should at least have access to them so we can draw upon them. Because we need these five gifts. Because God, Jesus has given them to the church to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, to bring us to the place of unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. So there is a purpose for these five gifts. So we must have access to them. And I would say that we should have at least one of each in our church. We should have an apostle in the church. We should have a prophet in the church. An evangelist in the church. A pastor in the church. And a teacher in the church. Now it might be that one person performs the function of two of them. But at least we've got the giftings there. We have the access to them. So let's look at the first one in the list. I'm just going to go through the list as they appear in the scripture. The apostle. Now what is an apostle? Well, the word apostle means someone that's sent out. That's what the word means. And it implies there that the apostle then is someone that's... his ministry is geared around going out. He has a mission to perform. We use that word all the time in church, mission. There's a strong sense of mission in his calling. Now there are quite a few people that would say that the apostle has ceased to be a valid ministry in the church. Actually, a number of his ministries, they say, have died out. And, you know, they're no longer valid, no longer recognized. But there's an important statement made in the scriptures which shows us that they're very much still part of the Church of Jesus Christ today. And that's the opening lines of verse 13. Well, really verse 13. Because we said, have we reached that point? Because when we reach that point, then there will be no more need for these ministry gifts. And that is that, have we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Now, have we reached that place? Well, I would say we haven't. We haven't in the church. We haven't come to that point. We might be on the way. We might have achieved some, but we haven't come to that place where we can say, well, everything there in that verse has been fulfilled. And we still need to be warned of the trickery and the doctrines of men and those things. There's still a poor place for every single one of these five ministry gifts. Now, the apostle is a person gifted by God to establish a local community of believers. He's sent out from a church to... A little bit like the Apostle Paul was. Now, the Apostle Paul was sent out from his home church, which at that time was in Antioch. He was sent out to go and establish, to preach, establish churches, and raise up churches in those places. And that's what the Apostle does today. He's a man gifted by God to establish a community of believers in localities, or we could say to establish churches in different localities, to assist them, to help them in their foundation, their scriptural foundation, provides teaching. He'll set up the structure of the church. He'll appoint the elders to carry the work on when he moves on. Now, ideally, the apostles should be sent out from a church for that very purpose. Now, the reason that's important is because when the church sends out its ministers and its ministries, it gives them the prayerful support that they need, and it gives them, it should give them the financial support that they need, and it also provides some sort of accountability as well. Because then the apostle would come back and report that this is what's happened. You know, they've gone out, they went out, the church sent them out, so they come back, they give a report, and that encourages the believers as well. And then, you know, that they continue to pray, they continue to give and support with their finances. You know, many of the missionaries today that are sent out by churches, we use the word missionary, but really they're apostles, because they've been sent out to do a work for God. They might say, well, we're evangelists, but really, because they've been sent out, they come under this ministry of apostleship. Yet, really sadly, I suppose, and it's a sad reflection on the church, that many of these missionaries and these apostles, they've gone out rather than being sent out. You know, that they've seen a need and the church hasn't responded, so that they go themselves. And the problem with that is the support's not right, because they don't always get the prayerful support they need. They don't get the financial backing they need, because if the church sends them out, the church will equip them, and well, it should equip them. So many of those missionaries, yeah, it's good to go, but let's go. Let's make sure we're being sent. You know, it's not a one-man band thing. You know, we're coming from the church. The church should be sending out its apostles to establish other little churches. And of course, there's also oversight in the church as well. The apostle has an oversight on the church. That's why, you know, you're reading the scripture that Paul said to, I believe it was Silas. He said, "Look, come on, so let's go back and visit all those churches. You know, make sure they're really doing what they were instructed to do. You know, they're functioning proper." So there's that sort of oversight that the apostle has. So let's move on. That's the apostle. Let's move on to the prophet, because we're running out of time. Now, the prophet is another gift given by Jesus that many believe have expired, and for the same reasons I said earlier on. It is still a valid ministry to the body of Christ, and a vital ministry to the body of Christ. You know, we need to have the prophet in our churches, because the prophet's ministry is to lift up and elevate the spiritual vision of the church. Gives the church the church knows where it's going. It keeps the church, the prophet keeps the church current, it keeps the church relevant. The prophet hears from God and says, look, and directs the way. Gives God's people focus, so they know that they fulfill their goals and their targets that they set. And it's good to have goals, it's good to have targets, and it's good to meet them. You know, and the prophet will keep us on track. One of the things that's been sort of said about the church in recent years is that it's lost its relevancy in society today, that it's not meeting the needs of society. And that's where the prophet comes in, because the prophet hears from God. You know, God's not making a mistake with the church. You know, God knows what's going on in the world, and God he speaks to individuals, speaks to his ministers. God doesn't do anything, the Bible says, in the earth, except he reveal it to his prophets. You know, he shows because it keeps the church with that cutting edge in society. So we need the prophet. We need someone who's going to hear and hear from God and tell it as it should be. Someone who's not going to just sort of water down the word of God for us. But when God says something, that the prophet speaks and shows us the way, gives us a direction. Now this, if you remember, we had the prophecy was one of the basic gifts. And we read them in Romans 12. Now just because somebody has a gift of prophecy as a basic gift, or we say a gift of preaching, or that sort of, that basic, or prophecy is also one of the spiritual gifts as well, listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And so we haven't looked at those yet, but you'll know that prophecy is one of those. There's a as one of the spiritual gifts. But just because somebody has that gift, the basic gift or the spiritual, doesn't make them a prophet. You know, the prophet, the function of a, the office of a prophet is completely different. You know, in the basic gift, we see it's a tendency to will preach or being able to bring the word of God. Whether that's in witnessing, in testimony, dare I say, even through sort of anointed singing. You know, it's a gift that we have. Then in the spiritual gift, it's the supernatural ability to speak out a word. And that would be a word for that particular moment. You know, a word that hasn't been prepared. A word that is inspired of God. You know, a word that meets the need for that moment. But the prophet, he's an instrument of divine revelation. You know, God reveals to him his purpose. His, God reveals the purpose of God, the mind of God to him. And that word, very often, we get a little bit of this with the prophet Jeremiah, and God, he says, the word was in me like a fire shut up in my bones. And that word very often is burning in the heart of the prophet long before he ever gives it out. You know, because there's a period of time of waiting upon God, hearing from God. You know, finding out what God's heart is. Or how God feels about an issue in the church, or how God feels about something. Find out what God's heart is. And then when he's heard from God, then he can bring that word. You know, and he brings it with authority, he brings it with power. You know, and the church is filled up and moved on. So we've had the apostle, the prophet, now let's look at the evangelist. We all know what an evangelist is, because they're prevalent in the church today. And an evangelist is a person that's just has got that gift to be able to bring, generally, I'm not talking about ones and twos, but large numbers of people to the Lord. You know, every one of us is called to be an evangelist, or do the work of an evangelist. We're all called to minister and witness to our family and our friends and those that we meet. And tell them about Jesus. That's the work of an evangelist. But the evangelist has an ability, a gifted to bring people in large numbers. I don't know whether you noticed it, but as we went through the basic gifts, and as you go through the spiritual gifts, there's no mention of evangelism. There's no gifting of evangelism. That's because those basic gifts and the spiritual gifts are specifically there to build up the church, to edify the church. But the evangelist is a unique ministry that God gives to the church, who has part of his ministry is to reach the lost outside of the church. And he builds up the church by going out. Now, the others build up the church spiritually, but he builds up the church numerically, you know, bringing lots of people in. Now, every born-again believer, as I said, is called to do the work of an evangelist, and you don't need to be gifted to do that. Now, I said last week, I enjoy going out with Anthony because of his that natural ability he's got to evangelize and turn any situation into an opportunity to get the word of God in. You know, you could be talking about, oh, I don't know, the nails that are in the door frame or something, and they turn it into an opportunity to present the gospel. Now that, yes, that is a gifting that he's got, and he's got that gifting to do, but you don't need to be gifted to evangelize. All you need to do is just present your testimony. You know, tell others what Jesus has done for you. Share your faith with others. Share your faith with the family, with your friends. And that comes out of the heart that has a desire just to serve God and tell people about Jesus. Yet God has raised up this specific ministry that's effective and anointed in reaching the community with the gospel. And we should thank God that the church, God has given us to the church, because they are like a breath of fresh air that blows through the church. You know, when the evangelist is anointed and people are coming to know the Lord, and there's new converts in sort of coming in every week, and it brings life into the church. You know, we should thank God for the evangelists, and we should use them and make sure they're used in our setting as well. Then we come on to a ministry which we are very familiar with, and that's the ministry of pastor. Now, it seems that every church has a pastor or has a minister, we might call him a minister. And some groups have what they call their pastor teacher. Because some people believe that this gift is combined with the teacher. And yes, it's true that these gifts are connected, closely connected. You know, they're connected in the way that, you know, the pastor and the teacher are there to teach the church and build the church up on the word of God. Yet, they are two separate gifts. Well, I believe they're two separate gifts anyway. Now, a pastor is a person that guides and guards the people of God. And the pastor's function is to encourage God's people to develop and mature in their walk with God. The pastor is like a spiritual shepherd. That's actually what the word pastor means. It means shepherd. And if you think of, perhaps we don't have shepherds quite like that today, or we don't understand shepherds like that today. But if you think of a shepherd in a field with sheep, he's watching over the sheep. It's what we'll remember in the next couple of weeks as we come to Christmas. We'll read the scriptures where it talks about the shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then the angels came and announced that Jesus was born. You know, the shepherds watch over the flocks. They guard them. They keep them. They care for them. You know, Jesus taught a beautiful parable of the shepherd that went out looking for the lost sheep. And shows the care that the shepherd has. David, the shepherd, who was a boy, when he was a boy, was a shepherd, became the king. He wrote that beautiful psalm, "Now the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. He makes me lie down in green." You know that beautiful psalm there. And just reading through that psalm, you can see the care. He describes the care that God has for his people. You know, this ministry gift, the pastor, he's a spiritual shepherd with care over the sheep. Care over the flock of God. Now, the nature of the gift of the pastor, well, he'll be aware of needs in the church because he's watching the flock. He knows when things aren't right or when the sheep get sick or when there's a need or there's a problem. And because of that gifting, that makes him not just, he doesn't just see it in his own flock, but they see it in the wider church. And he ought to have the ability to be able to share that ministry. Shouldn't just be confined to one particular church. Although the way we understand it today, you know, people would get upset if a pastor from another church would come into a church and start sort of interfering. But he ought to be able to have that liberty to be able to do that. And the pastors shouldn't be threatened by others coming in and doing that. He should be able to give the benefit of his wisdom and his advice to others. But perhaps today, sad, it doesn't happen like that because churches have become denominationalized, I don't know if that's the right word. We're all looking after ourselves. You know, it's us, so we don't mix with them, or we don't have, you know, they believe different to us, and you know, we can't have fellowship. It's become like that now, and that's so sad, because it was never intended, church never intended to be like that. It was just one. The Bible talks about the church in Jerusalem. It doesn't talk about individual groups. It talks about the church in Antioch, or the church in Ephesus, the church in Galatia, the church in Corinth. It was considered to be now there might have been several groups, but they're all part of the church. Yes, and we're all part of the church, and we've got little groups. It's like if we had in our church, we're not big enough to do it, but not really, but we could have in bigger churches, they might have their Sunday service, but midweek they might have a church group that meets in this area of the town, and another one in that area of the town, and another one in this part of the town. They call it like little groupings, satellite groups. But they all come together, all part of the church, one church. They come together normally at the weekend. But each group has a little pastor, if you want, for a better word, a little shepherd. Somebody cares for that group. You know, they're sharing, and that's the function. You should be able to share around different groups. Then finally, to wrap it up, we'll look at the teacher. We've done the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, we've looked at the pastor, now the last one in the list is the teacher. And a teacher is, or the person that has this gift, he's got the ability to open up the scriptures, to make what might be difficult passages seem easy to understand. He has the ability to teach the word of God so that those who are listening can put it into practice in their life. Now the teacher, like a little bit like a pastor and like the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist, thought that was, well, should be able to move from church to church, from group to group, bring in the important spiritual truths of God to those that he's speaking to. The teacher will be able to, from the word of God, show how people can resolve their problems and find answers for problems that they face, issues that they face, some big issues which need to be addressed. You know, when there's big things going on in a church, and perhaps everybody's got lots of different ideas on how it should be solved and sorted out. It's good to, that's where the teacher should come in and, you know, teach what the word of God says and the way the church should go. Yes, he'll work closely with the pastor, and which is why I think a lot of people say that the pastor and the teacher go together. But again, like we saw with the prophecy, or the gift of the prophet, a teacher is one of those basic gifts that we read in Romans 12. Now the basic gift of teaching would operate in a small group, you know, like a Sunday school group, or like a a little house group or something like that. Might be the leader of a women's group in the church, or a teacher in a women's group, you know, something like that. They'll have the basic gift, will be able to teach those people how to progress in their walk with God. But the gift of teacher that Jesus has given to the church addresses much deeper problems, bigger things which arise in the church, and where God's people need to have a grasp on the scriptures. So the teacher is a basic gift. You know, that goes on week by week. You know, it's very important, they're an asset, they're needed in the church. Now, to teach God's people the basics of faith. But the teacher will bring sound, systematic, clear to understand teaching from the Word of God, and will show how we can resolve our issues or solve problems and things that arise in the church. So there we've got a list of five gifts: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and they're all essential in the church, because they equip the saints for the work of ministry. You know, they call them the fivefold giftings. And these five giftings are there to teach God's people, bring them on, equip them, to send them out. You know, it's good that when the apostle goes out, that he takes people with him. And it equips them. Just like Jesus did. He sent his disciples out. He didn't send them out straight away. They went with him. They saw the way he operated. And then Jesus said, well, now you go and do the same. You know, it's good when the apostle goes out, that he has that. When the prophet ministers, that there are people that are underneath him that are learning. The people that feel called to that ministry. When the evangelist goes out, it's good to take a team with, you know, train on the job training. You know, they're equipping the people for ministry. You know, because God, because one day those apostles, those prophets won't be there. You know, they would have gone home to be with them. So there needs to be those that are raised up in their place. I like what it says of, I will finish with this. You know, I touched on it the other Sunday morning, where Elijah's in the cave, and God speaks to him. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? You know, Elijah rehearses that point. He says, oh, he says, God, I've been so zealous for you. You know, I've done this, I've done that. I've been here, been there. He says, now, so they want to take my life from me. You know? And God says, look, he says, come on, Elijah. He says, there's work to do. He says, you can't be sat in this cave. You know, I want you to go and do this. I want you to anoint this one, anoint that one. Anoint, and one of those people God told him was Elisha. He said, I want you to go and anoint the prophet, to be prophet in your place. You know, there is a succession. You've got to bring on those that are underneath you. Bring them on, raise them up. Yeah, God calls them, but he puts the responsibility on the fivefold ministry gifts to train up and bring on, cause people to develop in their ministries. Now, we're going to break for a week or two on this, but we'll probably come back in the new year and just look at some other things in the scriptures about how we can work for God and how we can develop our ministries and where we fit in God's kingdom and the body of Christ. I'll finish there. That's all we've got tonight. So we'll just pray. And it's good to find out what these gifts are, so that we can identify and see where God's placing us and where he's putting us. So Father, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity we have, Lord, to just come once again, Lord, around your word, Lord. Lord, perhaps tonight we haven't read a lot of scriptures, but Lord, we've done a lot of talking. But Lord, we just pray, Lord, that the things that we've looked at, Lord, these ministry gifts, Lord, that you've given to the church, Lord, to build up the church, Lord, to edify, Lord, to equip us, Lord, for ministry. Father, Lord, you give us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for those ministry gifts. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the apostles, Lord, the prophets, Lord, the evangelists, Lord, the pastors and the teachers, Lord, that you give, Lord, to the body. Father, we just pray, Lord, that, Lord, you'll raise up, Lord, in our fellowship, Lord, in our community, Father, those, Lord, to fulfill the function, Lord, of these giftings. So, Father, we just give you glory, give you praise tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.